Vieira. Well, both sets of supporters not knowing quite what to feel. Still life in the game, according to the referee, and Bergkamp certainly life in him. A truly high-class hat-trick. The first touch was magnificent. More to come. And again, unerring in front of goal.
I always found it very difficult if players wouldn't give 100%. For example, if they were doing other things off the pitch and had a big mouth, or were doing things that weren't right in my mind, then in training sessions I would take that with me. So there've been some bad tackles from me or some fouls or whatever. That was my way of showing it.
Hello and welcome back to In Lockdown, in partnership with Camden Town Brewery. This is part two of our special Dennis Bergkamp interview. If you haven't caught up with the first part yet from earlier in the week, it's available to download now. We pick up the interview with Dennis talking about the various leaders in the dressing room during his time at the club.
And what about the captains you played under? Because you started with Tony Adams as there, then Patrick Vieira, of course. Were you someone who ever really needed the guidance of captains and that sort of influence in the dressing room? Or did you see yourself as your own leader and you didn't particularly need that guidance from a captain?
Yeah, I think you've got different sorts of leaders in the dressing room. You've got one who is your most experienced guy in the dressing room, who's got the armband, who's got the respect of all the players, who can say the right things. And I've been lucky enough at Arsenal to have those players as captains, like Tony Adams. He was out and out captain. He knew exactly what to say. He would be up in front to go to battle, to win games, to win the fight, to have a go at the referees, to protect his players. Patrick was, of course, the one who had to follow Tony Adams, which was very difficult, but he approached it in a slightly different way. Maybe a little bit more gentle, but on the pitch, he was like a warrior. He was not holding back and used his power to lift others. Cherry was, of course, in his way, a leader that... leader by example, like that. That's our best player, so we're gonna follow him. And he was expecting certain things of his teammates as well. And he would show that he was always like that. I mean, the captaincy didn't change him. Mm. I think that was his quality. He was always like that, whether he was a captain or not. He was always leading by example. And as I said, if you pick those three captains that I've had at Arsenal, then you don't have that in other teams, in other clubs. I don't think so.
No.
Those three players, if you mention that them three, it's amazing. I mean, you can't wish for anything more.
And you were known to be a perfectionist in training every single day, giving everything. And that's what Arsene Wenger particularly said about you. That was so impressive that every single session from minute one to the end, you were there giving everything. But surely there must have been days when you needed motivating. Were you that self-motivating all the time? Or did you need some people around you at times to say, come on, it's, you know, put it in today, it's another day?
No, I must admit, I always loved playing football. And apart from, I think, my last one or two seasons where my body was struggling a little bit with some minor injuries. Apart from that period, I always enjoyed going to training, and it's some sort of challenge as well for me, you know. To show what you can do. I mean, all my career, people looked at me like the one who had to make a difference on the pitch. So that's my motivation. It's not like I can do a session or whatever without trying to be the best. I can't allow that. That's my character. Maybe it doesn't show all the time from the outside, but inside I just want to be the best and I want to compete, and I more or less don't like it if anyone else win a game or had a better cross or a better pass or whatever. I was always trying to be the best, and that's you can't switch that on and off. I guess that's a character thing, and then you as soon as you walk on the pitch, you see a ball and you start training or playing a game, then you've got that motivation right away.
But of course, there's lots of players who weren't like that, who didn't have that motivation, maybe to the same degree. How frustrating was that?
Yeah, I couldn't stand that. Yeah, it was so difficult for me to understand that people could play like that, be like that on the pitch. I mean, it's great that you can play football and you can play football for a lot of money. You can play for full stadiums and everything is arranged for you. How can you not enjoy that? And how can you just come to a training session giving 60 or 70%? I could not understand that if players weren't motivated.
Did you ever have to call anybody out? I'm thinking maybe towards the end of your career when you were captain in the team as well on occasions. Did you ever have to pull players to one side and say, look, this isn't good enough. This is not what we do here.
Well, to be fair, that's been a part of me from the start of my career. I always found it very difficult if players wouldn't give 100%. And for example, if they were doing other things off the pitch and had a big mouth or you could see them here and there or were doing things that weren't right in my mind, then in training sessions I would take that with me. So there've been some bad tackles from me or some fouls or whatever. That was my way of showing it.
Rather than telling them they would know then if they got on the end of one of your tackles that they'd done something wrong.
Yeah, exactly, because that was my way. I wasn't the guy who was shouting at people like, what are you doing or whatever, but I would show my frustration in training.
And did that happen in games as well? Because we know you did have, sometimes you got a little bit wound up by the opposition, shall we say?
Can't remember. No, you were right. There were a few times that the competitive side of me went over a certain line and then I did something that I shouldn't have done. But it's a fine line, I must admit, but I needed it to do well. My wife always told me during my career, I hope that you get kicked in the first minute, because then you're so aggressive and there's a certain way of playing that it gives you 20-30% more. And, and I think she was right, because I remember a Southampton game at their ground where this left back, I don't know his name, was an Italian name. He was winding me up all the time.
Francis Benali, I think.
Yeah, yeah. And he was winding me up all the time. And yeah, it just gave me something extra. So apart from the 100% I always gave, that gave me a little bit extra, I guess. and sometimes I went over the line, but it helped me. It helped me in my way of playing.
Yeah, Lee Dixon tells a story about you doing that to him, I think, in a training session before weekend. Do you remember that?
Yeah, well, to be fair, there were a lot of players I've had a little bust up with in the training sessions, but it was all with respect. It was all cleared once we hit the showers, because then you just apologize. I apologize. I remember Lee apologized once, like, and I can't even remember what it was about on the training pitch, but I do remember the apology. So that says a lot about the team, that we were helping each other to progress, to develop, those things on the pitch, we left it on the pitch and we just carried on because it made us stronger. I do believe that you have to train as you play, otherwise you won't progress.
And then when you came to the last couple of years at Arsenal. There were a few younger players coming through who were looking up to you. I'm thinking people like Robin van Persie, who would see you as a mentor. What was your role with people like that? Was it more leading by example, or was it taking them to one side, even coaching them? How did you deal with that?
Well, there were guys, of course, who were coming in where at first you don't have a connection with, but you just see what they can do. And I think Fabregas was a great example. He came in. He was very quiet, very respectful to the players. And suddenly he found himself in between, big names, and he was just developing himself and just quietly, not a big mouth, and just trying to get better every year. And well, you can see what kind of career he had, because he had the right mindset, he had the right approach to his start of the game. There were other players, who came into the first team with training sessions. They had a big mouth. They were arrogant, and they had an attitude like, okay, we're gonna show those experienced players how it's done. And funny enough, or not funny enough, you don't hear from them anymore, because they didn't have the right attitude. They didn't have the right approach. With Robin van Persie, he had some problems in Holland, of course, with his own his old team, former team. But as soon as he came, that there was a connection, because the image he had in Holland was that he was very arrogant, what I said before, so some sort of player who got the wrong attitude. But as soon as he came, he had a lot of respect for us, and he started the training sessions, and he didn't have a big mouth, and he was learning, and he was asking questions. My wife got on with his wife. So slowly you build a relationship, and that's mainly on the pitch. I was trying to lead by example, and he mentioned that a few times, that he was learning from that. And off the pitch as well, we had a few talks about certain things, about the Dutch national teams and that sort of stuff, where he could learn from. And I enjoyed just sharing my experience in those situations.
You always looked very at home at Arsenal, and you always seemed to be enjoying life on and off the pitch. And in comparison with other players, you rarely got linked with a move away. But was there ever a moment that you came close to leaving Arsenal?
For myself, no. I did understand that Arsenal at some point, and I think I was in my 7th or 8th season, I'm not sure, Arsene asked me the question if I wanted to leave, because then they would help me or work with me. They wouldn't mind that, which was a strange question, of course. But in the end, I said no, because I wanted to stay at Arsenal. And I remember at that time that I started in the years after having a good run. Like I don't know if you remember, but it was at the end of each season, towards the end of my career, there was always question of retiring or having one more year. And in the end, I think I signed 2 or 3 times one year extension to my contract. So I think besides of that one time that Arsene asked me, which was a question, to be fair, but I straight away said no, because I wanted to finish my career at Arsenal. And there was no doubt in my mind that I wanted to go to another club, country, or whatever.
Yeah, and I guess the fans wouldn't let you leave anyway at that time. As you said, it was always one more year. You got to near the end of the season, and that's what all the fans were singing at you. That must have played a part, did it?
Yeah, definitely, because I felt at home. I didn't want to leave. I mean, at the time I was in my 30s, and you don't want to go to another club to build, to help building a new team or whatever. And I had the feeling that we were really becoming a better team each year, in a different way than my like 98, for example. But we were slowly building to be a really settled European team, and I wanted to be part of that. And I felt that I had enough in me, and I was happy that I could show that toward the end of my career.
And just before we finish, we've spoken a lot about your teammates today. And if you interview, if you speak to Thierry Henry, Lee Dixon, Ian Wright, most of these players will say you were the best player that they played with. So I want to ask you, who was the best player that you ever played with?
I've had that question a lot of times. I find it very difficult to say, because I was lucky enough to play with the back four, like the back four we had in the beginning of my career at Arsenal, because I've never seen that a back four and with a goalkeeper is so connected to each other that yeah, that was amazing. Yeah. But of course, you would go for the obvious best player like Thierry, which basically is probably true, because he was the most gifted player I've seen, and I've seen it not only in games, of course, but also in training sessions. He was most of the time training. It seemed like he was training at 70-80%, and he was still by far the best player. That was a ridiculous time, because he was so good. I played with Patrick Vieira, which was a player who could change games. Even in those days, he would by himself change the whole midfield. Everyone knows the game, his first game, when he came on at halftime and he completely changed the game. Yeah, how can you compare those players to each other, Henry to Vieira or to the back four? I found it very difficult. Pires, I mean, what a player he was. Freddy Ljungberg, maybe he wasn't the most gifted player, but how effective, how decisive was he? The back players who came after, like Kolo Touré or Sol Campbell. I mean, as I said, I've been lucky to play with a lot of good players, but to name the best player, it's really difficult. Really difficult.
Yeah, because impossible.
Each and everyone in their own position was very important to the team.
Okay, and just looking back on your playing days and your time at Arsenal, what do you miss most about that time?
Everything. I mean, going to the training ground, you miss the dressing room, you miss going on the pitch and hit a few balls, having a training session, moan at the assistant managers and stuff. That's all sort of things you just miss. And I've been in coaching, I've been in other roles in football, but nothing compares to playing football. So that's a miss, but in the end, you've got a lot of good memories about it. So I've been lucky that way.
And do you have any plans to come back to Arsenal in any capacity? As you said, you've done coaching. What are you up to now?
Well, in the last 1 or 2 years, we were discussing this within the family, of course, because I do miss England. I do miss football. I've tried it in Holland, which in the end didn't work out for certain reasons. But we still got on our mind to go back to England someday and see what happens, because I miss being on the pitch and being around the football team, the players, the atmosphere. So I do see a future, but when that is, I'm not sure yet.
Have you had any contact with the people at Arsenal? Because there's obviously a lot of former players involved at the club.
Yeah, I do have contact with players at ex-players, so to speak, and I know that once I stopped at Ajax, that my agent asked if he would inform in England or at Arsenal, but I said no, it's not the time at the moment to do something. But as I said, in the future, I don't know, but wait and see what happens.
Well, it'll be great to see you back if you did ever come back. Thanks very much for your time today, Dennis. It's been a real privilege to hear those stories again and to, well, just remind everyone of what was a great era in Arsenal Football Club history. And if you enjoyed that interview at home, then please let us know by leaving a rating and review on iTunes. And until next time.
Thanks for listening.